Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Inox Green Energy Services Limited Q3 and FY25 earnings conference call, hosted by Investec Capital Services India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Upadhyay from Investec Capital Services. Thank you, and over to you, Anuj, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q3 FY25 earnings call of Inox Green Energy Services Limited. For today's call, we have with us Mr. Akhil Jindal, who is the Group CFO, Inox GFL Group, Mr. Kailash Tarachandani, Group CEO, Inox Wind Limited, Mr. S.K. Mathusudhana, who is the CEO, Inox Green Energy Services Limited, and other senior members of the management. I would now hand over to the management for their initial remarks, after which we'll open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Anuj. Good evening, everyone. A very warm welcome to all to the Q3 FY25 earnings call of Inox Green Energy Services Limited. The company announced the results at its board meeting held today, Friday, 31st January 2025. The results, along with the earnings presentation, are available on the stock exchanges as well as on our website. Before we move ahead, let me quickly take you through the financials. For the quarter, on a consolidated basis, Inox Green has reported revenue of rupees 74 crores in Q3 FY25 versus rupees 61 crores in Q3 FY24, up by 22% year-on-year basis. EBITDA of rupees 29 crores in Q3 FY25 versus rupees 24 crores in Q3 FY24, up by 23% on year-on-year basis. Cash PAT of rupees 23 crores in Q3 FY25 versus rupees 13 crores in Q3 FY24, up by 76% year-on-year basis. Now, I will briefly provide an update on our business operations and outlook before we open the floor for Q&A. At the end of the quarter, Inox Green's wind O&M portfolio stood around 3.5 gigawatts. Machine availability for the entire portfolio for Q3 FY25 was at 96.2%, and the figure for nine months FY25 was 96.3%, which is a significant improvement over the past years and a result of our continuous efforts on our services. We continue to provide several value-added services and refurbishment services, which is also contributing to our growth. We are constantly improving our technical capabilities. Recently, we have successfully deployed drone technology for our inspection of substations, 33 kV and EHV lines, for early defect identifications, rectifications, and improving the reliability of the system. We have also deployed drones for cleaning of turbine blades. This has improved our efficiency, reducing the turnaround time for the cleaning process and cutting down the unsafe manpower working conditions. Our portfolio growth outlook through both organic and inorganic growth continues to be very strong. We remain on track to achieve our target of 10 gigawatts in the next three to four years. We are also entering into new business areas, which include solar and hybrid project O&M, supported by our group company, Inox Solar's venture into solar manufacturing and project execution. We anticipate incremental portfolio growth and revenues over and above our current targets. The wind sector in India is on the cusp of massive growth in the next decade, which provides a very strong outlook for the companies providing technically superior services such as Inox Green. We have technologically upgraded ourselves, meeting global benchmarks. I'm confident of delivering on growth targets. With this, I would now like to hand over to Mr. Akhil Jindal, our Group CFO, for his remarks on some of the strategic actions which we are taking at Inox Green.
Yeah, good evening, everyone. While Mathu has mentioned about the continuous growth and the excellence that has been created in the company over the last few years, we also want to grow inorganically. And obviously, we are continuously evaluating multiple opportunities for acquisitions of businesses, either through NCLT route or the direct acquisition, and also the portfolio of the existing ISPs. The financial position of the company, as you would have noticed, has improved significantly. It has, in terms of the higher cash PAT, in terms of the EBITDA, which is a true profitability reflection of the INOX Green business. As you would know, at this juncture, the RESCO demerger has not taken place. It's in the process. There is a significant amount of depreciation charges that is being reflected in our current numbers, which would be transferred to RESCO as the assets get transferred. So practically, whatever number you are seeing, you should look at our EBITDA numbers as a benchmark for our PAT numbers, because in absence of depreciation, everything will flow back to the profitability, to the bottom line, and that's where I guess the cash PAT is a very important number for you to analyze as our company. And as you said, that our cash PAT is roughly is 23 crores on a quarter to quarter basis, and that is growing significantly as we are acquiring new businesses. The scheme for the demerger is also under process. The RESCO, which my colleague mentioned in my previous call also. So we are awaiting the regulatory approvals. The BSE NSE approvals are likely to be available to us in the first week to 15 days of February. Once the regulatory approval comes in, the demerger will be done through NCLT, and that would take, say, another 6 to 9 months as the case may be. We're hopeful that within this calendar year, we will have the demerger of the business, and to that extent, the RESCO will also be merged. So, will be listed. So, when we are looking into the next year's balance sheet of INOX Green, it would be an asset-light balance sheet, and it would also have no depreciation charges as a continued item. What it means is that a profitability will be far more stronger. Post the demerger, the shareholders of INOX Green will also receive the shares of RESCO, which is renamed as INOX Renewal Solutions Limited. And where the as a shareholder, they would also be a partner in the growth of the substation business, which is also getting merged through the same scheme. I would just reflect on the inorganic growth initiative of the company. As I mentioned in the beginning, we are looking at number of possibilities in this sector. There are many companies which are going through the bankruptcy route, and we are evaluating many of them. And as you would know, the NCLT process, the bankruptcy route, is something that takes time. It is a little lengthy process. But then also, the advantage is that we get the company clean without any hidden liabilities, without any contingent liabilities. So to that extent, while the process may be a little lengthy, but it is in the best interest of the company to get the company clean, and absolutely the core business would be available to us, rather than so many non-core businesses that otherwise come in a state acquisition. As you are aware, we have recently participated in one of the large company in India, and that company also will be folded in our fleet as and when the NCLT process gets complete. Today the COC is directly controlled by us. So in that sense, there is a fair amount of comfort that we have in the fleet of this company as being part of our own fleet as we go along. We are also looking at other opportunities while we speak. And to that extent, there is a fair amount of work going on, in the group. So the inorganic growth is going to be an important element of the growth in this business, because naturally, while we are growing organically every quarter based on the work that has been done up by our INOX Wind and those O&Ms being done by our INOX Green. But inorganic is a fair amount of possibility in this business. And to that extent, we are looking at more and more opportunities as we go along. That will also increase our asset portfolio. our financials. And to that extent, as and when the right opportunity is coming at the right time, at the right multiple, I think the right multiple is an important element that you cannot ignore, because naturally we want to pay the right price for the right asset, not just acquire anything and everything, you know, at a very rich valuation. I don't want to name the company, but there are a few companies which are doing that, but that's not our strategy. We are very, 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 very value conscious, and to that extent, whatever fits into our overall scheme of things is something that we are going to do in a very calibrated manner. And obviously, if it takes a little longer to get the assets clean under the NCLT, we will do so. I think with this, I open the floor for Q&A. The entire team is here to answer any of your questions. Feel free to ask any question that comes in your mind. You know, we will reply to the best of our ability. In case any question remain unanswered, our IR team is available to you for any clarification after this call gets finished. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets only while asking a question. I repeat, you may press star and one to ask question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. I would like to remind the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Shweta Dikshit from Systematics. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much. A couple of questions on the margin side. Despite a significant increase in other income, our margin has tended to drop to around 46%, which is a decline sequentially. So could you just help me understand what brings this margin decline? As I can see, there's an increase in other expenses and employee expenses as well as EPC and O&M costs.
So we've always been maintaining that you have to look at the margins in this business on a full year basis. And for that, we've maintained the guidance of 50%. Now, there may be quarterly variations. For example, in Q3 and Q4, we do the scheduled maintenance for us to get ready for the next wind season, which is Q1 and Q2 specifically. So there are additional costs which we incur and book. So that varies the margin on a quarterly basis, but on a full year basis, 50% guidance remains.
Understood. Thank you. Another, I think I just needed some clarity on sir's opening remarks. Like when we mentioned the addition of a new large company in our fleet, are we talking about an inorganic expansion that we are, I mean, in the process of closing, or is this, I think I missed what exactly the point sir was saying.
I think the point that you are saying is that the money has been invested in buying the debt of the company. And to that extent, the COC is, which is a committee of creditor, is something that we have a fair amount of comfort and a control over that COC. And as and when the NCLT process gets complete, because the company is in NCLT, and as I mentioned to you, the NCLT process for a company which has been there for such a long time is always, I would say, a bit long and a bit lengthy, and we are finishing all that. Hopefully, in the matter of 6 to 9 months, we can see this company being directly under the fold of Inox Green, and to that extent, the numbers will be consolidated. So today, the numbers presented to you does not include any financial from that company, but it's a large fleet, it's a large initiative, and to that extent, I guess the numbers will show for itself as and when the acquisition gets complete.
Okay. Any indication of the portfolio size?
We wouldn't like to give you at this point of time. At an appropriate time, we'll let you know.
Okay. One last question on the other income side. Is there any, clarity on whether, how are we supposed to look at this number going forward? As I am talking from the perspective that if we have to build our forecasts that way, how do we look at this other income number going forward?
Shweta, as per the business target, which I already mentioned in my opening remarks, in a couple of years, our target is to double it to 6 GW, and within 3-4 years, we need to achieve a portfolio of 10 GW. So that's the guidance which we always maintain, and we are very hopeful to achieve that.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Deepak Sharma, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Sir, you are audible, but there is a lot of background noise from your end.
Is it clear now?
Sir, we can't hear you. There is a lot of background noise.
Sir, try using a.
Hello. Is it clear now?
Yes, sir. It's clear now.
Yeah. Sir, as an individual investor, I just want to know what is the revenue model means. If you are doing the 1 GW in one year, then how much revenue you will collect and the EBITDA margin, as you said, a 50% margin, right?
Yeah. So broadly, whatever the commissioning would be, whatever the commissioning would be and what would be the commissioning number, you can multiply with 8 lakh rupees per MW, and our EBITDA guidance is around 50%. So considering 1 GW of commissioning, you can consider around 80 crore top line with 40 crore rupees of EBITDA.
Okay. And then my second question is, how the RESCO demerger will help the company in terms of revenue and EBITDA going ahead?
So in terms of the RESCO demerger, obviously, yeah. So the demerger of substation business and merger with the RESCO Global, Inox Green shareholder will be benefited by in two ways. One, they will get the shares of RESCO, broadly 10%, broadly 20% of the RESCO would be owned by the Inox Green shareholders. That is one. Secondly, after this merger-demerger will get completed, the complete depreciation will go away from the financial numbers. And our EBITDA would be, as Mr. Akhil has said, would be particular will translate to PAT and PBT.
Okay. Okay. My another question is, if you see the revenue numbers is not consistent from the last 8-10 quarters. Suppose if you do the 800 MW this year in Inox Wind, then the revenue will start coming in the Inox Green?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. After commissioning, naturally, because Inox Green will be doing the O&M, so the revenue will be reflected in the Inox Green numbers. Yes.
Okay. What is the time gap? Means, suppose if I do the project of wind today, then the commissioning means the gap between the commissioning and the installation?
No, no. After the commissioning has been done, then the O&M cycle starts. Commissioning means the completion of the plant, and the O&M cycle starts.
The gap between the supplies and commissioning, you can take anywhere between 6-12.
Yeah, yeah. Maximum.
Okay. Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, this 3.5 MW which you have today and a 60 crore quarterly run rate, that doesn't match. So is it that when you take that 8 lakh, so can you just help us reconcile? So that's the first question. Second question is, between 3.5 MW and your journey to 6 GW or 6,000 MW and 10,000 MW, can you help us in the next 3 years or let's say next 2 years between now 3,500 MW to your targeted whatever number it is in FY 2027, what will be the organic addition?
Yeah. I think what you are looking at is the quarterly numbers. My request is to have a look at the nine-month number, which is 167 crore. Annualized basis, it would be close to 240 crore. So when my.
Even that doesn't match, right?
Around 8 lakh per MW, that was the annual number. So if we are at a 3 GW plus kind of a maintenance, we would have that kind of a top line.
No, sir. So just a minute, sir. So if I take 3.5 into 8, it's about 280 crore.
Yeah.
So
Looking at the 9 months number, which is 167, we are looking at that level. And obviously, this 3.3 gigawatt that we have done, has many of them has come during this year also. So obviously, they are not a true reflection of the full years of operation.
Sir, you're not clear. Does the December number of 61 crore, does it reflect the 3.5 gigawatt of corresponding 3.5 gigawatt of billing, or it doesn't include the 3.5?
Yeah,
if it doesn't include, then how much have you built? Have you built 3,000 megawatt?
So, Pritesh, just to answer your question, you know, in this quarter, we have reported 60 crore rupees of revenue. If you analyze it, that would be coming somewhere around 240 odd crore rupees of revenue of a top line. In terms of a 3.5 gigawatt of portfolio which we are showing, if you multiply it by 8, that comes somewhere around 280 odd crore rupees which you are mentioning. So the gap of 40 crore which you are seeing is, as we have clarified in the past call as well, out of 3.5 gigawatt of the portfolio, there are 13 comprehensive O&M contracts and some are non-comprehensive O&M contracts. Though the EBITDA margin will remain same in terms of the per megawatt basis, but the revenue realization on a non-comprehensive O&M contract would be somewhere around 3 to 3.5 lakh, which translated to this difference.
Okay. And can you help us the bridge in the next 2 years, right, until FY27? How much of organic will we add to this 3,500 megawatt?
So as we are at a 3.5 gigawatt by December, we will commission broad near to about 300-400 crore megawatt in quarter four. So broadly by FY25 and we will be 4 gigawatt portfolio
plus minus
100-200 megawatt here and there. Then we will get commissioned 1200 megawatt in subsequent year and then 2 gigawatt. So organically, our portfolio will increase to somewhere around 7.2 gigawatt. Inorganically, as Mr. Akhil has mentioned, that we have already we are planning to acquire one company in NCLT. We are evaluating the other proposals as well. So putting together, we are very hopeful that around 2 to 3 gigawatt will be acquired in next 12 to 18 months
I think to simplify your understanding, if you have a target of reaching 10 gigawatt in 3 to 4 years time, from 3.5 currently what we are today, we'll reach up to 7 organically, and the balance 3 gigawatt we are hoping to acquire inorganically. That is the ultimate plan.
Okay. This 1200 megawatt addition in 26 and 2000 megawatt addition in 27. This will be year one and year two of these assets, right? So they would be revenue generating but not cash flow generating, right?
That's right, Pritesh. Your understanding is right. But we have around 3 gigawatt of the old turbines as well, for which we are recognizing the revenue. So as we have discussed in the past call as well, there are certain additional cash flow in terms of these turbines which are flowing. So the difference in the cash flow is also very minuscule in terms of the revenue recognition and the cash flow which is coming.
Sorry, you have 3,000 megawatt already in this 3,500 megawatt.
Pritesh, we can discuss in more detail this question offline, because that required a little bit of a calculation, and I can explain it to you offline.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Nitin Gandhi from InnoQuest Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Is it clear?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, the question was same, out of this, just continuation of previous question, how much is from NCLT asset which you are targeting out of this acquisition?
Yeah, the same thing that we mentioned, the 3 gigawatt is our target to add over next 2 to 3 years. mostly it would be from a stress situation, because that is where I guess we can determine the best of the valuation. Otherwise, buying it from an operating asset from an operating company could be very expensive. And
that's
our
right.
endeavor would be to preserve the shareholders' value in that and do everything which is value accretive rather than value destructive, as some other people might be thinking of doing.
And what could be the challenges to get this kind of asset under management?
Sorry, can you please repeat the question?
What could be the challenges to get this acquisitions done?
I think it's a patient game. Number one, you have to understand the legality of each and every asset. So to that extent, there is a fair amount of hard work and the court process that one has to endure. As a management, we believe that we have got a bandwidth to do so. We have an understanding of these assets, and to that extent, I guess but for the patient and a little bit of a perseverance, they all can be done, easily done.
Can you share what is size and the NCLT put together at this point of time for such assets?
Well, there are a number of companies at different stages. I won't be able to give you the exact number, but we are looking at some targets where there is a fair amount of assets under management. And
it could be 10 gigawatts.
Just adding to that, if you can refer to our presentation, what we've outlined is that there was a study done some time back which identified 10 gigawatts of stressed assets which are available to be acquired. Out of this, some has been already done, but broadly you can consider that number for your reference.
Okay. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Akhilesh, a shareholder. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I had a few questions. So first question is, this solar O&M potential, will it show up in FY26 revenues? What is the plan on the solar side of the business?
The execution on solar is expected in the next FY. So as soon as with the timeline of 8 to 9 months, the project commissioning, so it will be taken over by Inox Green. So the financial will be reflecting post that.
And what kind of margin profile will O&M and solar have? Is it similar to our existing profile, or will it change the profile of the company?
The goodness is since we share a lot of synergies between wind O&M and solar O&M, right? So we intend to put a common resources so that our margin, we will stick on to maintain the similar levels. If you are doing a standalone solar, the margin normally is too low, but we want to keep it in a synergetic manner.
So is it fair to say that with solar also the EBITDA margin profile of our company will be in the 50% range?
Might not be if you are doing so much of solar, but looking into the capacity addition, we will prefer more in wind. We will look for more hybridization project that will make us better EBITDA margins.
Okay. And cash flow wise, is that solar O&M similar to wind? I just want to understand the impact once solar O&M starts on our company. Whether it changes the cash flow profile of the company or,
Yeah, so as far as Mr. Mathu has said that in terms of the, in terms of the solar margins, since we are providing a hybridization solutions, so our solar O&M revenue, EBITDA margins will be little higher as compared to the industry. That is one. But that would not be surely 50%, because that wind is a kind of a unique play in which the EBITDA margins are higher, that is complex, solar is relatively simpler process. But due to the hybridization, we have the advantage. So the, accordingly, our EBITDA margins in the solar would be higher. That is one. Second, in terms of the cash flow profile, that is more or less same as far as the wind O&M, solar O&M concerned, that is as similar to wind O&M. So there will be no you know, difference as far as cash flows are concerned.
Okay, and the next 1 or 2 years, wind will still be the majority of the Inox Green portfolio of O&M.
Yes, the wind will be the majority. The solar we will, you know, start adding from the next year onwards, but that would be, you know, gradually will be added. So broadly in the next 2-3 years time frame, the wind would be the majority.
Okay, and second question is on this demerger of the substation from Inox Green. So while it will take away depreciation from our books, will it also take away any of the tax losses that we have accumulated?
No, so the tax losses would be on a company level, not on an asset level. So the tax losses will remain in this company.
Okay, and what is the current accumulated tax loss?
Sorry to interrupt, Akhilesh sir. May we please request you to rejoin the queue?
Yeah, just this one if they can answer. The current accumulated tax.
700 crore rupees is the tax losses which the company carries.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Bhavik Shah from Envixa Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. So my first question is, when you say the depreciation will not come in our books, our assets will go to the other entity. But we will.
Sorry, we are not able to hear you.
Yeah. Hello. Is it audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So when we say depreciation will go off our books, the assets will go to the other entity. But we will require those assets for our O&M, right? So in a way, our depreciation will become our OPEX and will reduce our EBITDA margins, right?
So as far as you know, the power evacuation and the common infrastructure we have developed is not required for O&M services per se. That is required for, you know, for the providing the turnkey solution to the customers. So it is in a broader sense, it is always a part of an EPC game. But as we have clarified in the last call as well, you know, due to the we have transferred the EPC business earlier from this Inox Green to Resco Global, but unfortunately at that time we are unable to get transfer this common infrastructure. And now, since you know, we with the NCLT route, we are transferring the same. So you know, that is all not required to be here in a O&M company as such.
Okay. And so, just to understand, the 50% EBITDA margins are like too good to be true. So what is the factor here that other players are not entering this industry and we are enjoying this? We will basically enjoy this 50% EBITDA margin. Because if it's 50% and I don't have any working capital or inventory, then everything flows down. So everyone would like to enter this business. And second is, sir, in solar O&M, our peers are not even making 25% gross margins. So how will we select projects there?
So first of all, we understand that, everybody understand that wind is a very complex business, that everybody cannot get into that, number one. Number two,
what is the complexity we have technical labor skills, or like what do we require? What's the complex element here?
I'm coming to that. First of all, we are an Indian OEM with a strong presence, and we own the substation, we develop the substation, land, connectivity, and we also install the wind turbines, right? As a Inox Green, we are operating substations, lines, connectivity, the EHV lines and turbines, okay? So customers are only owning the WTGs, and they are kind of married to us for a long period of time, like more than 25 years till the life of the WTGs. Unlike other new entrants who do not own anything on the land or substation or anything, so they are only selling the WTGs. So any manpower contract, technical skill contract can do the services, which cannot achieve EBITDA margin of 50%. Okay, they will be a very simple service contract with maybe 20-25% margin, unlike in the several cases, like, you know, several ISPs are there in the market, correct? They cannot match the EBITDA margins of an OEM. So that is one on the wind answer. Second, on the solar, as you said, gross margin is possibly 25% for the regular solar business. But when you couple the wind professionals or the technical expertise needed to manage a solar is much more superior than a solar themselves. So we intend to use the similar technical forces and the resources to manage the similar technology. Everything is same, only it's a rotary part and that's a non-moving parts. So we intend to synergize the resources to make the margins higher than what the industry can give.
Okay. And just, do we have any guidance on the solar? How much gigawatt do we want to be there, like scale up?
At this point of time, we are not giving any guidance on addition of solar into our portfolio. We'll give it at an appropriate time.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Tarub Advani from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. So if you can please throw some light on the fundraise that we recently did, the amount that we still have, and you know what the utilization has been, if you have already spent something, and if not, then what the proposed utilization is?
Yeah, as I mentioned in the opening remark, so we have utilized close to 300 crores as on date. We intend to utilize another 200, 250, over the period of next 2 to 3 months. And accordingly, as we are looking at into other targets, the fund will be best utilized. We have also deleveraged the balance sheet of this company, as you would know, partly through this fund. And to that extent, all the funds that has been raised are well deployed, and they are creating more EPS for the company.
Sir, and the NCLT opportunity that you spoke about, so that would form the part of the first 300 that we spend, is it?
That is right. That is right.
Understood. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Gandhi from InnoQuest Advisors. Please go ahead.
Can you share what's likely billing per megawatt for solar and hybrid? Of course, I understand into complexity it could differ in hybrid, but just ballpark numbers, maybe 5-10% here and there, that's okay. But just to understand.
Actually, it's a bit early for us to comment on that. Let things develop and we'll come back to you on this in the subsequent quarters.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, this is a new business that we are getting into, as we mentioned in our presentation as well as in their opening remarks. So things will develop over the next few quarters, and we'll give you more clarity as and when we come back to you in 3 months' time. Thanks.
No, I thought like since you raised the funds and you have some business plan, obviously when you are entering, there'll be some number crunching we must have done. So I was just trying to look at it.
Fundraise is for inorganic acquisitions. The question I think you had asked us.
No, no, I understand. But like next phase, you will be obviously doing that also, right?
But okay, solar anyway, will be more of organic growth rather than inorganic. At this point of time, we are thinking on that line.
Yeah, but having said so, we are looking at opportunity. Let's not close any door in terms of the opportunity. So if any solar maintenance company is up for acquisition at the right price, we may consider that.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Pradyuman Chaudhary from JM Financials. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Pardon me if I heard it wrong, but did you mention that Inox Green shareholders would get 20% of the Inox Renewables, that is erstwhile Resco Global, or was it 10%?
So the minority shareholder of Inox Green will get 10% in the consolidated entity. So currently 50% is owned by the minority shareholders in Inox Green. So if we take a match accordingly, then the 20% shares of the Resco will be owned by the Inox Green shareholders, with 10% by the minority and 10% by the promoters accordingly.
All right, fine. Thank you.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Manish from Middleton Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, how does this availability that I keep at 96.2% availability affect the revenues? Or how do we correlate with the revenues? Does it affect the revenues by any chance?
See, this is a key performance index for a performance number. This is nothing to do with the revenue. So this is basically an industry benchmark for the entire project availability. Basically, it includes the availability of WTG's turbines. Also, it includes the availability of the 33 kV line, substation, and the EHV lines. So put together, our overall plant availability or the project availability is 96.2%. So if you hear from the market who only operates the wind turbine, their availability is at 97%, which is not comparable with this number because this is a total project availability number, end to end.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a follow-up question from the line of Shweta Dixit from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks again. One question on the solar O&M side, is there any indication of what kind of realization is there, like there is 8 lakhs per megawatt for wind O&M? Is there a similar number for solar O&M?
Again, I'll repeat what I said in the previous questions, that it's a bit too early for us to comment on the numbers and also on the realization front, but what I can give you an indication is that it will be lower than what we are currently billing in the wind business. So that's, I cut myself on that, and probably we'll come out with more details in the subsequent quarters.
And just to add, just to give a more idea, we don't want to give any numbers on that, but you should know that for a small project of solar, the cost per megawatt is high. For a large project like 500 megawatt, 400 megawatt, the cost per megawatt is low. So there is no specific for solar in the case. It depends on the scale and the size of the project. So once the project is getting commissioned and getting loaded, we will be very spot on the prices and the margin we can do. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. One last question. What was the size of the total proceeds of the fundraise that we've utilized?
I think the total was 1050 crore, as you would remember. And obviously, we have received, Manish, correct me if I'm wrong, 550 odd crore already in the company. The balance are callable money. And, you know, as and when required, it could all be infused. Out of 560, as I mentioned to you, approximately 300 is being used for the acquisition, another 70-80 crores for the debt reduction. So almost 370-380 crores have been used for till now. So we still have, say, 200 crore of the previous funding in our system. And as and when the acquisition size based on this, we can call in more money, which is balanced to be infused from the previous round.
Understood. That is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from the line of Anuj Upadhyay from Investec Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Just one clarification on how much of cranes are expected to be operationalized in the next quarter. And also you mentioned that the transformer capacity would be operational. So what capacity would begin, say, Q4? And I do understand that the RESCO is targeted to be demerged from the Inox Green. And this capacity, my understanding is, would come under RESCO. But would it still have any kind of an margin impact on Inox Green for FY26 numbers?
So on your first question on the cranes, obviously it is unrelated to Inox Green, related to Inox Wind, because RESCO is a subsidiary of Inox Wind. But still, two cranes will become operational. We are starting with that, and then additional cranes will come in the subsequent months. And there will be no impact on the transfer of the business, the substation business, from Inox Green in terms of the EBITDA margins. We don't feel that there'd be any impact.
That's helpful, sir. And on the transformer side, what capacity? Again, I believe it's part of Inox Green only, but any clarity?
We can discuss that offline. We'll let other participants, if there are, to discuss on Inox Green specifically there.
Sure. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, that would be the last question for today. Sir, do you want to give any closing remarks?
Thank you everyone for joining today's call. I hope you have a great weekend ahead. Thanks once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Investec Capital Services, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.